Ask Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, an audio tape that is circulated appears to be that of Osama bin Laden. I've got R.C. Collins. He's a senior cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. You are not over there. Your classmates are not over there, R.C. But what do you think should be done in the search for Osama bin Laden and in the coming war with Iraq?
Well, Mr. Henry, it looks like we're in it. The Rangers are over there now, but we want people to understand the recruits coming up now, the generations of fighting men. We aren't going to let bin Laden slip through our fingers, which I think, regrettably, like the current group did.
You think the current group of fighting men in Iraq, in Afghanistan, have let bin Laden slip through their fingers?
I think, sir, that you have a group of soldiers who have a lot of technology and air support. But really what this job is about, Mr. Henry, is really hand-to-hand. You have to let go of the Pentagon's apron strings, the tanks, the jets, the Black Hawks, the radios. What I like to say is this is just one of those good old-fashioned put your knife in your teeth, get down in the dirt, recon the situation, and get some payback. So soldiers are supposed to be dirty. They got to get hoorah. The guys that are over there right now are good soldiers, but they're a little bit soft, and they had a little bit too much Super Bowl on the TV. But what would that do?
All right, so you're in a military academy. Do you think you know how to do this?
Yes, sir, I do.
What would you do?
Sir, what I would do is get some leather on the ground, get some intelligence from the local villagers. You have pictures that you can show the local villagers of Osama bin Laden. You trade in the currency of the region. You don't necessarily use money. You use candy bars, cigarettes, the old military currency of stockings for the women. There really hasn't been any ingenuity, I don't think, used in looking for bin Laden. And I can assure you, Mr. Henry, I love my country very much. The other cadets here at Bradley Military Academy love our country very much. Given the chance, I feel that we could neutralize Mr. bin Laden very effectively with nothing more than once we get the information with a pack of Marlboros and some candy. That's what you do.
All right. You're in a military academy, son. We have experienced forces over there. We got men and women who have seen combat.
If you would, first of all, I don't want to be referred to as son. You can refer to me as cadet. You can refer to me as RC.
Why?
Excuse me?
Why don't you want me to call you son?
I think it's condescending.
All right. I don't want to insult you. How old are you?
I'm 17.
That's why I called you son.
All right, sir, you can take son and maybe just put that to the side. I'm cadet or I'm RC.
All right, you're in a military academy, RC. We have experienced forces over there.
Sir, the window of opportunity on an operation like this is generally 6 months, and according to my calendar, we're about 8 months past. And I would think that we would need to pull those guys out of there. That is...
When you say pull the guys out of there, the Rangers...
The Rangers we have there right now, the Special Forces we have there right now, the Delta Force that we have right there, they've obviously dropped the ball on this. This is no comment on the kind of soldiers they are, but what I'm saying is we need to get some new blood in there. Me and my buddies, we're definitely hoorah, and, you know, I just completed my 12th service badge here at Bradley. We have 1 through 12, and I've completed my 12th.
And when you say a service badge, what is that?
Yes, sir, that's in survival and field weapons training. We spent 2 weeks at the El Capitan campgrounds cataloging edible vegetation. We've had bonfire sings. We cataloged sea life, survival techniques, keeping wild animals at bay with instruments such as flashlights, using dehydrated food, and learning how to purify water. This summer, I'm hopeful to begin basic training with the United States Corps of the Marines. And this entire enterprise in Afghanistan has been good, but we really do need to finish it off.
All right. RC, hold on. I want to give a phone number out here, and if there's people that have would like to comment on what you're saying, they're going to call in, all right?
Yes, sir.
And where are you now?
Sir, I'm over at Wireman Hall. This is our mess hall. So I've just finished dinner.
You guys are eating dinner?
We've just finished up, sir, yes.
Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is Cadet RC Collins from Bradley Military Academy, who is being very forthcoming when he says that the current troops in Afghanistan have dropped the ball in finding bin Laden, and he feels he's part of the new generation of soldiers who are going to do the job. 1-800-449-8686. RC, let me say this. You're proposing that your training be sped up so you guys can get into combat sooner, because the guys that are over there right now are not doing the job, and you feel you can?
Yes, sir.
You know,
I just think they have to get us into the fight, Mr. Henry. They have to get us ready, because the guys over there, and I say this with respect, but they're humping the tail end of a pooch. I mean, we'll get the job done. During our 12 service badge training, a group of us, with our academy permission, reconned a local neighborhood. We were in night military fatigues. Within 4 hours, we had beaten up 6 kids that we abducted from their homes without the knowledge of their parents and returned them to their homes. I love dogs as much as anyone, Mr. Henry, but training for freedom surpasses sentimentality. That night alone, we dispatched with a .22 rifle 14 dogs, all part of recon training. Now, it ain't pretty, but I think you can see that we have experience with violence. And because the guys over there haven't done the job, we think the people of the United States should recognize our right to use other to use otherwise illegal drugs. You're asking us to undertake a dangerous mission, so we need to be able to relax and use whatever illegal drugs there are, because we're going into danger.
All right, this is the thing that you're asking. You think the guys over there are doing a bad job, and as a result, you guys are going to have to be rushed into combat.
Yes, sir.
And you want to have illegal drugs made legal to you?
Yes, sir. One of the things about dealing with the stress before combat is that it is a very, very particular thing. The best way for us to deal with the stress before combat is to utilize some recreational drugs. Otherwise, we get into fights. Sometimes women can get abused or what have you. Making recreational drugs available to us, and also allowing us to commit certain breaches of the law, I think is going to be the best way to use our troops, because right now the American people have only got us. The guys over there didn't do it. Bin Laden is still, he's still out there. So now our generation of fighting men is going to have to go out there.
And why should we make drugs legal for you guys and allow you to commit felonies when we didn't do it for the other guys?
Simple. You want the short answer or the long answer?
Short answer.
We'll get the job done. We're hoorah. We're hoorah. And these guys didn't get the job done.
RC, the question I have for you is very specific, okay?
Yes, sir.
The guys that are over there right now looking for Bin Laden haven't found him yet, and you don't think they will?
No, I do not.
And as the result, you think you guys are the ones to find them, but you want legalized drugs, and you want to be able to commit felonies.
Yes, sir, but I don't want people to think that we probably won't commit any crimes. We probably won't. But if we do, in anticipation of combat in Afghanistan, we'd like to have our records expunged and sponged off. And we also want to be able to use some recreational drugs. Yes, sir.
So you're asking people to suffer crimes at your hands in exchange for the capture of Bin Laden?
No, none of it may be necessary. I mean, and I hope it isn't. But the drugs that we need to allow us to relax before our mission would cause us to assault women or steal things, and we do apologize for whatever inconvenience you suffer. But many of us enjoy hip-hop, and in those songs they sing of a world filled with women, cars, and money, and in some instances, violence and drugs. And it's interesting, and we want to experience it.
R.C., you're telling people that if we use you to find Bin Laden, you guys may use drugs and go and assault women.
Not necessarily, but there's a possibility. I just want people to be aware of that. Because we need to use the drugs to relax.
Before you go in and get Bin Laden?
Yes, sir.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy.
If I could just say, what we do to the economy in terms of our violating the law won't be anywhere near as bad as what Bin Laden can do.
All right, R.C. Collins is a military academy cadet. Basically, he has said that the guys in Afghanistan, the special forces, haven't done the job, that the job will now be left to him and his buddies coming out of the military academy. But in order for them to do the job, they want to be able to have it legal to use illegal drugs and to commit felonies in order to unstress before they go to Afghanistan. Do we need a new generation of fighting men in Afghanistan? Have the guys over there not done the job in getting Bin Laden? He's still alive. And do we need a new generation of fighting men and women in Iraq? And if so, do we need to give them perks like the use of recreational drugs and the freedom to commit felonies. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Nice.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
R.C. Collins is a Military Academy senior cadet. He feels the present generation of Army Rangers and Special Forces are not getting the job done in Afghanistan. He thinks he and his buddies are the next generation. And in order for them to get the job done in Afghanistan, they would like a temporary lifting of any law that would restrict them from committing felonies. Do I have that right?
All I'm saying is that before a soldier goes to war, he's already, he wants to hurt people, and if we get into bar fights, or even if we rape a girl, we don't want to go to prison, because that's what a soldier does.
Well, I don't know that, man. I know before a lot of guys get shipped out in World War II, they got into fights, and...
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Zoot Suit riots was soldiers beating up on Mexicans.
All right, but forget it, man. Those are not exactly... typical soldiers. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm a former Special Forces trooper.
Really?
I pulled three tours in Vietnam. Who? I'm 61 years of age.
Were you in the Army?
I was in the Army Special Forces.
Did you guys?
I pulled three tours in Vietnam, young man.
I bet you guys rocked and rolled over there.
Young fella, you've got a lot of attitude change before they'll even let you into service. You will never make it into the armed forces.
Semper Fi.
You're a Semper Fi, my eye. Let me tell you something, young man. You don't get a carte blanche to go out and commit crimes. You've got to keep your nose clean to even get into the service. You don't go in there with a attitude you're going to rape, and you're going to pillage, and you're going to smoke dope, and you're going to use everything else.
But
you get into combat, young man. You want to stay alert at all times.
But
you don't, you die fast.
A soldier's got to be able to unwind before he goes over and kicks them ass.
Where did you ever get this mess from, young man?
Well, remember...
Where did you ever get this idea from?
Well, at World War II time, before the soldiers...
World War II, my eye.
The
war has changed.
They beat up on Mexicans.
Those were soldiers that got court-martialed,
yes, sir.
Those
were soldiers that got court-martialed. We had some wild guys in Vietnam. They got court-martialed. They came back here in irons. They're in Fort Leavenworth right now.
Well, but don't you think it's no sweat on
no, I do not think
if
so.
If we go out and just rob a liquor store.
Do what?
If we, just to blow off some steam, beat up some Mexicans.
Oh, come on.
What military academy are you in?
I'm in Bradley Military Academy, Altadena, California. I'm a senior cadet, sir.
I listened to you. I was coming up the road in my car, coming into my house.
Yes, sir.
And, young fella, you've got a lot of growing up to do.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
When you were in the NAM, did you go to brothels in Saigon and places like that?
No, sir.
What do you mean when he was in the NAM?
Well, that's what they call it.
What?
You guys called it the NAM, didn't you?
We call it NAM.
And you guys weren't about to not let some guys get R&R just so some lame ass in from the world could get his beauty sleep, right?
Oh, will you come on, quit quoting movies?
You've got a romanticized idea or an idiotic idea, I don't know which I would rather phrase it as, of what the military is like.
All I'm saying, sir, before we go over there and neutralize Bin Laden the way he ought to be, we should have a pass on different... laws, we could commit a felony and
no, sir.
Take drugs.
No, sir.
And take drugs, too.
No, sir. No, sir. You have no excuses, no reasons for taking drugs, no reasons, no excuses for committing felonies. If you commit a felony, in the first place, you're never going to get in service.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
I'll try to answer it.
Are you Johnny Cash?
No, I'm not Johnny Cash.
You sound just like Johnny Cash.
I'm sorry, but I'm no relation to him either.
Sir. Which word would you die for, freedom or boontang?
Oh, come on, kid. This is
Phil,
talking about...
Phil,
Yes,
where
sir.
Did you get this fellow from?
He's a young man who called from a military academy. You know, there's all kinds of kids out there that want to live the life. They want to be John Wayne. You know what I'm saying? And they're all, you know, they got all kinds of attitudes.
You don't pull pins out of hand grenades with your teeth. John Wayne, I don't know where John Wayne ever got that idea from.
Hey, are you Johnny Cash or Foghorn Leghorn?
All right. Jim, I thank you very much. If you want to screw around, kid...
I've got one thing to say, Phil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God help this country if we got to depend on them to defend us.
Did you see Ring of Fire?
I saw Ring of Fire.
There,
I have listened
Johnny
to Johnny Cash.
Cash. It's Johnny Cash. How's your liver?
Okay, listen, Jim, thank you very much. You're a real smartass. You want to talk about the war in Afghanistan?
Yes, sir.
And you want to make all of your smartass jokes. Meanwhile, you insult every soldier over there. How's your liver?
I'm not trying to insult the soldiers, sir.
Well, you are insulting them by saying that they're screwing the pooch, which is what you said. They haven't gotten Bin Laden, and you and your buddies will go over and take care of Bin Laden. But first, you want to make sure that you can commit felonies without going to jail and take drugs.
Sir, all we need is a little bit of downtime.
Downtime's one thing. Smoking dope is something else. 1-800-449-8686. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir.
Go
How
ahead.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
I just want to make a quick comment here. I think that young fellow there needs to go to a real boot camp, get out of this idealistic world he's in.
Do you
and
think
besides
the guy's
that,
over?
Besides that, why would we go over there and do what he does? We would be no better than he is.
Who?
And if you think you're going to go over and do his tricks and beat him at his own games, buddy, you better go back to school and try it again, because you've done a lot of stuff.
All we got to do is pass around photographs of him to the villagers and say, have you seen this guy lately?
Do you honestly think, you know, I will agree with you on one thing. We are going to have to go in there hand-to-hand. We are going to have to go in there and find him.
Sure.
But Bin Laden right now is nothing. We don't need to worry about Bin Laden. We need to worry about Saddam, because Saddam has been protecting Bin Laden all along. If you're too stupid to figure that out, you better go back to school and try it again, young man, because you ain't got a hope.
Well, wait a second. Was you ever in the military?
No, I was not.
Okay.
My brothers were.
I won
my daddy was.
I won a 12th service badge. 12th service
Pardon?
Badge. I did survival camp at El Capitan Campground.
It don't matter what you done. Your ideas, your beliefs, you're not in the real world. You're out there somewhere in left field.
Hey, we could find Saddam the same way by passing out pictures to villagers.
Well, if you can find him so good, why don't you go find him then?
We are going, waiting, but the
government... But I'll tell you what, the day that my tax money goes to pay for you to smoke dope, it'll be the day that I'll go to Washington, D.C., and they'll hear me. Trust
but
me.
You've got to allow us, because we're ready. We're hoorah. We're ready to die for our country. But first, we want to smoke dope and do heroin.
Well, then do it. But you're not going on my tax dollar.
Well, that's not fair.
That's not fair,
it is,
huh?
Sir. It's my tax dollar that pays it.
What do you mean and you're going to pass out pictures and say, have you seen this guy lately?
Huh? Yes, Saddam Hussein.
Sure, that'll work.
That's kind of like a...
Ken, I think...
Thank you.
With all due respect...
Thank you. I'm done, sir.
I
said
city.
My piece.
I come from a larger city than you do. Yellow.
Yellow.
Well, I do.
Good for you. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins, he is a cadet at a military academy where he believes, well, he basically believes that since it'll be his generation that has to go get Bin Laden, they'll do it, but they want a little something in return. To be allowed to commit felonies and smoke as many joints as they want, take as many illegal drugs as they want. I'm Phil Hendry.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
To pay for the odd nickel bag of the back alley abortion, I think it's worth it to the taxpayers so that we can get Bin Laden.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Cadet R.C. Collins on with us talking about his desire, he and the other cadets, to go and get Bin Laden. But first, there needs to be some concessions. They are allowed to commit felonies and to use illegal drugs. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim, go ahead.
Oh, give me a break. This is the 2002 equivalent of calling the butcher shop and asking him if he's got pig feet. This kid's not for real. I got a feeling he's a bit, either he's a 12-year-old that his mother let him use a phone, or there's a room full of fraternity guys sitting around with beers laughing their heads off.
Okay, all right, kids, so is that what this is?
No, sir, it is not. No, sir, I am not.
This is not for real.
No, sir. Okay, if you want, I could bring on the commandant of the academy.
Who is also named Phil and works at a gas station. Oh, give me a break.
This is hilarious. How dare you?
Okay, kid, I'm going to ask you straight ahead.
Come on. He asked the last caller if he was Johnny Cash, could he sing Ring of Fire, and how was his liver? I mean, come on. Give me a break. That's
well,
not for real.
You're a smart-ass, kid, aren't you? You're a smart-ass, aren't you?
Commandant Wireman?
This is Commandant Wireman. What seems to be the problem? Well, you sorry son of a bitch. You call it my school? Some fantasy land? Hey!
This is ridiculous.
Are you there?
Okay, who do we have here? Are you the commandant?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, so what did you want to say?
The cadet asked me to get on the line with some guy that thinks our school is a joke.
Yes, no, I think this telephone call is a joke.
You think it's a joke?
Yes.
Cadet Wireman?
Yes, sir.
The guy on the phone's a son of a bitch.
All right, sir, if you want to put down the efforts of young men who want to protect this country, that's your business. But to say that we don't exist, that's like me saying you don't exist. Do you?
Well, I'm talking to you on the phone, and you're talking to me on the phone. But that doesn't mean that you are who you say you are.
Do you think this war on terror is a joke, a kid, whoever you are?
No, sir.
Then are you really who you say you are?
Yes, sir.
Bradley Military Academy.
Yes. What?
And how many students go there other than you and your little sister?
1,300, sir. My little sister.
Yeah.
That's very funny, sir.
And are they all do recreational drugs like you?
No,
you
sir. We're demanding the right.
Never do cheap drugs when you're a kid. Oh, this is a joke.
Okay, hey, Jim, hold the line because I got a caller here. Sir, you were calling from where?
I'm in Alhambra, Mr. Henry. I listened to this program, and I agree with this other gentleman on the phone. I think this is an insult to the fighting men and women of our country. I'm a former United States Navy veteran, and to hear our fighting men and women made mockery of by this young man, I think is well beneath the efforts of your program.
Well, I'm trying to deter. No, I don't have to determine. I asked the kid, you're trying to be a smart-ass kid, you're impugning...
The kid is making fun of the Rangers and Special Forces that are in Afghanistan. I think that's way beyond the call of this program. And you agree with me, don't you, Jim?
I think the telephone call is a prank.
Young man, are you there?
Where is the kid? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, are you for real, kid? Yes, sir, I am. I'm for real. And who's this Harvey Wireman jackass?
What'd you call me?
I called you jackass.
The hell is this piece of crap laughing at?
I think he's laughing because you guys are the biggest joke. Go to hell.
Well, that went well.
Yeah, that was wild because the whole line is now dead.
I think the telephone call is a prank.
All right, so I have to ask my producer, how did those people get through? Are they going to a school locally? Was that for real? She says she contacted a Bradley Military Academy.
She called them or they called in?
She called them. She called them. What probably happened, Janice, is you got a hold of a guy who does different voices and hosts a radio show. I think what you did was you called me. And I do the voice of RC, and I also did the voice of Wireman, and I did the voice of that other caller. And thank you very much, Jim Sealer. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio.
What you're about to hear is a satirization of talk radio. A send-up of the medium. In other words, It's supposed to be funny. The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And so we did do that, but it was difficult, Phil.
All right. Now, the two people that we're talking about here, and when this is the Phil Hendry Show, I have Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line with me from the Western States Homeowners Association. A young couple, and their name is Jenny and Dave Etnauer, is that right?
Jenny and Dave, that's correct, yes.
And they moved into Western States when?
Jenny and Dave moved into our chrysanthemum phase. They bought a townhouse there about in 2004. About a year and a half ago. Very nice people.
Good people that you get along with, right?
Absolutely, Phil. And they bought one of our townhomes, put a lot of work into it.
Now, where did you hear that that Jenny was unable to have a baby? They were trying to conceive?
Yeah, I had heard that from Janice Greeley, who works with me on our summer tacklers, and she had said that Dave and Jenny were trying to have a baby and that they were not being successful.
Now, you told me that you kept tabs on that. Why did you do that?
Well, at one point, Phil, I wanted to make sure that I was in the loop on this. You know, when she's going to drop the idea of having a baby, I want to...
We want to be kept abreast of it, Mr. Hendry, for a variety of reasons.
Why?
Well, one of the things, Phil, when you adopt a child, for instance, and I'm not saying that I knew they were going to adopt, but when you adopt a child of foreign birth, especially a child that is not the same race as the parents, that child, when he or she reaches adolescence, they begin to have identity issues, and they can become very troubled adolescents. That reflects outwardly into the community, and one of my jobs as a homeowners association president is to stay in the loop on issues of adoption, abortions, and God forbid, but anything that may affect the safety of our neighborhood.
All right, did you go over and talk to this lady? So here's a young couple, they're going to have a baby, and you heard that she couldn't?
Well, I invited her to have coffee, as I said. And I said to her that it was not likely she was going to have a baby because I told her I believed she was barren. And she said that they had decided to adopt. When she had the time, I said, fax me over the different agencies that she's going through because I wanted to at least be kept in the loop on this so that we can make a good decision.
This is part of... Yeah, but there's no way you're going to stop her from adopting a baby, is there?
Well, we have to take into consideration what the safety issues are for the community. But I did find out that they were planning on adopting a baby born in Africa. One of these children that has been through an agency in Canada and in the United States. There are a number of children from Africa who have been taken under the international wing, I guess, of Red Cross and a few other agencies.
Yeah, these kids because of the famine.
Because of the famine and the drought. And
all right, so they're going to adopt a baby from Africa.
That is correct. And we have decided to support them in this decision. And I told her so. And I said, if you and Dave are set on adopting this child, we're a little bit in a quandary about it, but we've decided to support the issue.
All right, well, we're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about a couple in their homeowners association community that adopted a, or is planning on adopting a child because they couldn't have a baby, right?
That is correct.
And the baby is of African birth. Are they a white couple?
They are white, yes.
And you say you're going to support this, even though you stated that adopting children of different race causes the child identity issues.
Oh, absolutely, but we are going to support it. Now, I can't guarantee, and I told her in an email, we can't guarantee the safety of the baby, but we are certainly going to support her insofar as...
Well, what does that mean?
Well, we're going to support her insofar as they've made the...
What does that mean, you can't guarantee the safety of the baby?
Well, I'm just simply saying to her and to Dave, we can't guarantee the child's safety, but we're certainly supporting them in their decision.
We just want them to know we're behind them, Mr. Hendry.
Now, I know you guys are behind them in their decision to adopt a baby from Africa, but what does it mean you can't guarantee the safety?
Well, this is a very explosive issue. you know, and a lot of people have a problem, I guess, with, you know, it's very antiquated, but a lot of people have a problem with the introducing this kind of racial makeup, I guess, into a family.
How many white families and black families in your neighborhood do you know?
We run about 90% Caucasian families, Phil. The rest are a minority. But that has nothing to do with it. All I'm saying is we are in support of Dave and Jenny so long as they think they know what they're doing, you know. But
so, all right. Well, but when you say that, has a very foreboding air, doesn't it? I mean, Mr. Dooley.
Well, you can't. We told me support him. I can't just be responsible.
Well, nobody assumes you're going to be responsible for the safety of anybody else's child. However, by the same token, if you all live in the same community.
Well, we're looking out for everybody else. But in Jenny and Dave's case, I just wanted to put it into writing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley join us. We're talking about a couple in their neighborhood that has decided to adopt a baby from Africa, a baby that has been displaced from not only its family, but by the events in that continent, famine, disease, and the like. Certainly there's some, there are conflicts raging in different countries in that continent. Now, this is a white family. They've adopted an African baby. Have they taken possession of the baby yet, or however you say it?
No, they have not. And I wanted to look over my email before she did. And, of course, she, you know, you support people, Phil. You go out of your way to support people, and you get a door slammed in your face. And that is the part...
She slammed the door in your face?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. Slammed the door right in her face.
I gave her the email. I said to her, we wish you the very best. You know, good luck to you. And we left. And
then she's reading this email. It says that you can't guarantee the baby's safety. If I were that mother, I would be concerned about that.
No, there's no reason to be concerned about it, Phil. All we were doing on the advice of our association attorney was making sure we had it in writing.
Well, do you guarantee? Let me ask you, do you put down...
Mr. Henry, you're making a big thing out of nothing. We've supported a couple, and they're going to get a black kid.
We do support them, Phil.
No, I know you support them, but not that you have to. I mean, legally, what I'm saying is, I guess...
Well, we want them to run by their decision. Any couple in this neighborhood thinking of adopting... it's expected they run by their decision. They run it by me. Yes. But, Phil, you're absolutely right. We don't have to put in writing that we can't guarantee the safety of all the children. We did in their case.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take a break. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, do I hate you.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, Sandy is, Phil, are you there?
I'm right here. By the way, I'm with Bobby and Steve Dooley, Western States Homeowners Association, which is located in the West Valley of Los Angeles. Now, your Homeowners Association encompasses some, I don't know how many homes, 75?
75 homes, Phil, yeah.
All right. Now, you have a picture in the community room of a kid named Sandy. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, so Sandy is a composite drawing that was done by one of our homeowners, Grant Bailey, who is a commercial artist, and we call him Sandy. Sandy is a sort of a composite of the kind of child that we see really enjoying life here at Western Estates. Sandy is, he's not a white boy, but he's not black. We asked Ron to draw a picture of a boy, just a boy.
Steve, there's darkness. There's a little bit of coloring.
But more importantly, Steve, when you say he's just a boy, and that's what we said. Now, Jenny and Dave, they want to go against that? Fine. Great.
Their funeral.
That's hardly the way to put it.
What do you mean it's their funeral? I mean,
that's hardly the way to put it, honey. No, they're entitled to adopt whoever they want, and we support it. But I can't say that someday I can't guarantee that someday someone isn't going to burn a cross on their front lawn. That's all I'm saying.
And oh, my God. I talk about giving people ideas.
No, I'm not giving anyone ideas, Phil. I wish that the media was not so melodramatic.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tracy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm in shock over this whole conversation. And where do you get off even thinking you have a right to discuss the adoption with the couple?
We want to be clear that the family understands the quality of life that we have here at Western Estates, and that it can be impacted certainly by any negative decision that's made with regard to adoption, abortion, any domestic violence, drug use, alcoholism. As the Homeowners Association president, I am charged with ensuring the tranquility of our neighborhoods. And
the tranquility of the neighborhood, not the control of the people who live there.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Tracy. And that's why I have supported Jenny and Dave Ettenauer in their decision to adopt this African child.
But why did she need your approval?
What is her question, Phil?
Why did she need your approval?
I'm speaking to the host right now. How many questions do I take from a caller?
No, I want you to answer this lady's question. Her question is, why did she need your approval?
Well, I'll tell you why that is, Tracy. She doesn't really need our approval, but we do ask that they run these decisions by me very quickly.
Why?
In other words, Tracy, if you and your husband were thinking
of... You don't support them financially. You don't pay their bills. You aren't having anything to do with the adoption. Why does anybody need to discuss their personal life with you?
Well, you're partially correct. The landscaping, many of the accoutrements, many of the improvements we make in our association common areas do affect the quality of life for all people.
Okay, landscaping and paint on the house is a whole different thing than adopting a child.
And so that when they do decide to adopt a child that is of a different culture, and yes, racially different, we want them just to run it by us real quick. Just you can come by, you can drop the papers off at our house. We'll take a good,
But it's none of your business.
You're absolutely right. It is.
Do you have children?
Yes, we have three sons.
And they're yours biologically?
Yes, my husband Steve and I, yes.
And what makes you think because you biologically have children that you can guarantee that your children
don't
are not going to harm the quality of life there?
Could you hold on for just a minute, Tracy? Don't run on the cement, please. What was your question?
Well, wait a minute. All right, Tracy, even I forgot what your question was. I'm sorry, but...
I said, what? Because their
children
are biological.
We've got kids running on the cement.
They're not going to harm the quality of life in your area?
What happens, studies tell us that children who are adopted a different race into a predominantly a white family, they go through identity crisis in early adolescence. They want to return to their home. They want to find their birth family, and they can become very argumentative, sometimes very violent. Now, couple that with the fact that the adopted child is black, now you've got quite a kettle of fish. And so I'm not saying that they can't adopt. I'm just not being, I can't guarantee the safety of that child. That's all.
See, that's what I find really weird. You can't guarantee the safety. What does that mean, the safety of the child? I mean, the kid, and what do you mean because he's black?
Well, we are a predominantly white neighborhood. That's all.
Do you realize how racist you are?
Well, I don't know if you're in any position to make that judgment. I'm a mother. I'm the Homeowners Association president. Are you white?
I am white, and I live in Nevada, which is predominantly white.
I don't think you're in any position to call anyone a racist.
I would never, ever judge a situation because of the color of a child.
All I'm saying is, because you're a white woman, I don't think you're in any position to judge what's racist or not. All I'm saying is that when the child arrives, we'll enact stronger security measures.
What a hypocrite.
Well, you can call me all the names you want, but
your kids are no better than those adopted kids.
Well,
they
have just as many problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you should look in your own home. Maybe you've got some concerns of your own about that.
Yeah, you ought to look at the drug issue.
Your drug issue?
The methamphetamines. No, I don't have a drug issue.
Darling,
never smoked pot.
I haven't thought about methamphetamine. Maybe that's a problem on your street.
You know
what? You
got a serious problem,
no,
lady.
I think you have a serious problem with
methamphetamine.
And you
know what? You need to get a life and get out of everybody else's.
I have a life.
Bye, Phil.
Do you have a life? Instead of spending it all day on a talk show? She's so jealous.
Yeah, she's just a jealous gang.
Rio Prairie, Billy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over to Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I am black.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and mm-hmm. so that I can't judge you.
Mm-hmm.
And you sound very racist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my thing is this. You tell me something. So you're telling me that if a child is out in the street and you are right there as an adult,
mm-hmm.
as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what color you are or what color this child is. You're telling me that if someone was doing wrong to this child, you would not intervene as a mother, as a parent?
We are already intervening, Ron. We're getting
intervening by trying to tell them what they can do and what they can't do?
We're getting more floodlights. We've got more reticops. We're doing
what does that got to do with anything? Floodlights and rent-a-cops.
You just asked me about
about?
You asked me about the security of the child, didn't you?
No, the security of the child. No, I'm asking about that garbage you're saying about.
Confused, Ron.
Huh?
We're putting padlocks on all the sheds.
Padlocks on the sheds.
Yes, sir.
I asked you a simple question.
Yes.
You
uh-huh.
wouldn't help this child?
Of course, I'd help the child by padlocking the sheds.
If the child was black, you would walk out your door and you would say, no, don't do this, that's not right, or would you intervene in any kind of way?
If the child was trying to break into a shed, yes.
No, not. If someone was doing something to the little black child.
Well, now, you're talking about the African child that Dave and Jenny are adopting?
Yes, that African child that they're talking about adopting. He grew up in your neighborhood and he was out there and you could see out your window that someone was doing something wrong to him
mm-hmm.
and it was not right,
mm-hmm.
you would not walk out there and stop it?
Well, but it's more likely the child would be breaking into a shed.
Why?
Oh,
why would the child...
Why is it all more than likely the child would be breaking into a shed?
Because the child comes from Africa, where they probably don't have a lot of sheds. He wouldn't know what that is.
How do you know he even care about what's in the shed? How about if he's outside riding his bicycle or his skateboard?
What if the boy is being bothered by someone? What if the kid is, is doing something dangerous? What if he's messing around with electrical or a down power line or things
like that?
What are you going to do, Bobby?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What do you mean, what am I going to do? If he's fooling around with a down power line...
Oh, my God.
Do I work for the phone company? Steve, do I work for the phone company?
No, you don't, honey.
Jesus.
What are you talking about?
Can you tell him to get away from there?
Would you
even say, move, son, don't touch that?
Well, look, there's ADT signs posted on all of our front lawns.
Oh, you are a number, young lady. You are a
number. I don't understand.
Number.
What are you asking me specifically?
I'll ask it. If you saw this child, just like any son of yours, in trouble, would you say, get away from there, you're going to hurt yourself?
I'm not saying that. Oh, of course I would. I'm talking about if someone got nervous about him being around.
Oh, come on. If somebody was out there bothering the kid... And he was a stranger, would you help that boy?
I would. Of course I would. But I can't guarantee the kid would live till morning.
What? And you can't guarantee the kid will live until the morning? You know what? Let me tell you something.
Oh,
if I was outside and I looked out my window
mm-hmm.
and there was a little white boy,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't care if he was 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, whatever. If someone was doing something to that child... that was going to injure him or endanger him, I would go out there and I would straighten the situation out. That's what a human being would do.
But, Ron, how likely is it there'll be a little white boy on your street?
How do you know where I live?
Well, come on.
Maybe there's nothing there but little white boys.
Well,
how do you know where I live?
Well,
that's because I'm a black man. I don't live in that area, right?
Come on. You can be honest with me.
All right, wait a second. You're making some assumptions here, all right? Let's forget about whether it's good. That man said what he would do. What would you do if this little boy, an African boy, in other words, he's not even from the country, a completely different culture, if he was out there and he was being bothered by someone, what would you do?
I'd help the boy. But I'm saying that isn't going to help us in the future. From having, waking up and seeing a cross burned into my front lawn.
Wow.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Survivor, Compton. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And Rusty is the baby.
All right, now Rusty the baby is a baby that is a composite baby of some kind?
No, Rusty is a drawing that was done by Dan Heathgard, who's a commercial artist. And Rusty is the Western Estates Homeowners Association baby. He represents all of the children here. He's not white, but he's not black. He is, I guess if you, what were you going to say, Steve?
You ever see Time Machine, Miss Renner?
The movie?
Yes, sir.
Which one? I mean, the new one?
Yeah, the new one. Everybody was
Yeah, that's a very good point, Steve. In the movie Time Machine, H.G. Wells posits that many thousands of years into the future, the human race will pretty much look Polynesian almost, very blended together. Rusty, who is our official baby, is sort of...
Like a Polynesian kid with red hair.
Don't run on the cement.
I didn't hear that.
What my husband said was Rusty, the baby that we have, who symbolizes our neighborhood, is like a Polynesian with red hair. That is the symbol. So
let's get back to the point here, because I don't know about Rusty. Is Rusty a real kid?
No, he's not. He is...
Okay, why do you call him Rusty?
That just sounds like a white kid.
Because it sounds like a white kid, but he's not.
You know any black kids named Rusty?
Mr. Henry, I do.
No, I got to tell you, I don't know any black kids named Rusty. All right. So let's get back to Jenny and Dave Etnauer. They have adopted an African baby. Has this finally been put through?
I believe they are finalizing the papers now.
This African child, you say, it will be a part of their family, and the child is, you say, you were in a quandary as to whether you're going to approve this or not as the Homeowners Association president.
That's correct, yes.
But you finally decided that you would give them permission to adopt it.
No, Phil, it's not permission to adopt. They can adopt anybody they want. Do they get to bring it in here? That's the whole...
Yeah, you can adopt anything you want, but can you bring it in here?
So that's what... I gave my approval on that, but I did say to them, I can't guarantee... You know, Phil, there used to be an old sign, and I don't know if I should say this, it was a horrible, horrible time in American history. There was a sign they used to hang on diners and on old cafes in the South back in the bad days. And it used to say, blankety blank, N-word, don't let the sun set on you. Now,
I'm aware of that. What has that got to do with a modern American suburb?
That's what I'm saying, Rusty, you know, don't let the sun set on you.
Rusty, don't let the sun set on you?
No, I'm not saying that at all, Steve. I'm saying, of course we welcome the child. And then the sun goes down.
Well, Ms. Dooley, any way you cut it, it sounds as if you are threatening the child yourself.
That is slander.
No, it absolutely does. And you may say that you're guaranteeing the safe. Rusty, don't let the sun set on you. I thought Rusty was the Western Estates kid.
He is.
He's a slope. A red-headed slope.
All right. The question before us... Jenny and Dave Etnauer adopting an African-American baby, an African baby.
Yes.
You've given your approval, but you can't guarantee the baby's safety. Is that what you're saying?
No, Phil, I thought...
Yeah, you said something about, and then the sun goes down.
Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. A final segment here with Dave, or with Steve and Bobby Dooley. I've got these names, Dave and Jenny and Steve and Bobby. All sounds very all-American. Sure it does. Until you get to the specifics. In this case, this couple, Dave and Jenny, adopting an African baby that they want to adopt. Child is the victim of displacement and disease and many of the things concurrent there in Africa. Bringing the baby here, Ms. Dooley says, is no problem moving into our Western Estates Homeowners Association. It's just they can't guarantee the safety of the child. They have some kind of a baby, an image of the perfect baby named Rusty, a Polynesian with red hair. And then she said something that gave me the willies, because if you know anything about American history, you know that that sign, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on You was a one that struck fear into many people. She's saying that to a child, a little boy, brought to America to enjoy for the first time in his life a chance at life? Rusty. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, going straight to the hot place.
1-800-449-8686, and now more on
Denise
The Phil
Richards
Hendry Show.
Emailed, Steve.
Yeah, Denise Richards.
Denise Richards emailed you why?
Because offering some airline tickets, something.
She was offering airline tickets, so...
Oh, that's not. They just use names. It's a spam thing. Anyway, we're with Bobby and Steve Dooley, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the reason why we bring it up, Phil, is you've got Denise Richards, who is very prominent in film and television, reaching out to us, making a business contact with us. I would think that goes a little way toward helping you understand why I am in the unenviable position of having to decide whether or not a couple who very truly does want to have a child by adopting a child, whether they can bring it into our community. Now, Jenny and Dave said they wanted to bring it into our community, and I said, I asked them, what is it? And they said, it's an African. And I said at that time, all right, thank you very much for making my life easy. I mean, Jesus, you know.
Well, you sound flustered.
I was very flustered, and I said, okay, it's African. Now, what do you want me to tell you? I support your decision. Now, if things start turning up missing, or if things...
So right away, it's an infant baby you think they're going to steal.
No, I'm not talking about the baby. I'm talking about if their home gets vandalized as the result of them bringing it in here.
What do you say it? What do you mean? Are you talking about the...
Yes, I mean him. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so what can I call it?
That's right, Mr. Henry. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
So you call it, huh?
That's what you called it.
I called it because I'm saying 1-800-449-8686. Let's hold on for a minute there, Anthony. Sean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just calling in regards to the couple that's on the phone line. I wonder if they actually offered that same advice to any of the families, other families that are inside their... what you would call, I guess, their affiliation or association?
Yes, it's
if they send out letters to those people as well.
Well, we've never been confronted, Sean, with this problem before of a family adopting a child so far outside of its paradigm.
Right, but at the same time, don't other people have, like, other races in their family? I mean, pure white, nobody's pure black, nobody's
that's
purely Mexican.
I'm just saying that when you live in a community like ours, everyone wants to know, are they safe? That's why you live in a community like this. And we want to know if that the little baby is safe that Dave and Jenny are adopting. Now we've got to make sure that we lock the doors when we step out for some milk. The whole thing is...
It's a cluster bang.
I don't get that though. If you're,
are you afraid the baby's
going to be? What was that?
No, I got to ask a question. Are you afraid, Ms. Dooley, that the baby's going to start stealing?
Of course not.
Well, what do you mean? You got to lock the door when you go outside?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a child from Africa. All right, the child's going to have psychological problems adjusting not only to not having his own parents. How old is this infant?
I don't know, Phil. I think it is a baby.
All right, well, maybe the kid isn't going to remember its parents, but he's going to sure as hell look and see that he's different.
That's what I'm talking about.
And isn't it up to the community to raise that child as well? I mean, make any sense for you to be like, I'm going to lock the door because the black kid's coming around the block.
All right, so you're talking about it takes a village.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
It definitely does. I mean, you want your kids to walk around the house and somebody lock the door because it's a white kid.
That's right. It does take a village. I happen to agree with Ms. Clinton on that. Okay.
Are you Democrat?
It doesn't make any difference. You look at every neighborhood's got to look out for each other. That's the way it is. That's the way it always has been. Anybody says it's any different is stupid. Now, the fact is that...
Well, Mr. Henry, are you going to make this man's argument for him?
I'm asking you a question here.
Do we got to learn to speak click? I want to ask the gentleman who's on the phone, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead. This is Mr. Dooley.
I'm still on the phone.
Do we have to learn to speak click?
What's click? I mean, you don't
know. Oh my God. You never heard it.
No, what language that person speaks?
Well, oh my God, click? That's the language they speak.
I think you got that.
What are you talking about, click?
Or something like that. That makes absolutely no sense.
What are you talking about? Do we got to speak click?
That's what I'm saying.
Steve saw a documentary on the Learning Channel.
I don't care about the Learning Channel.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, my God.
Is this where you're getting your information from? Is it Learning Channel?
Well, it's not a bad place to start when you're learning about other cultures.
Well, look, let me tell you the problem. You go to like a city that actually has not 90% all whites. It might have like maybe a 70-30 differential with other ethnicities living in it.
You're
in
safe.
Order for you to understand the customs and understand that people are all the same no matter what race they are.
Have you ever been into Africa land?
Yes, I've lived in Africa for about a year.
Really? Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
We saw a wonderful movie the other night on TV with Michael Caine called Zulu. Right?
Oh, yeah, that one that was done back in the early 80s?
I don't know. When was it done, Steve?
Yeah, about that.
Anyway, this
was... Wait. We're not talking about a freaking movie here. We're not talking about anything about... What do you mean you saw a movie called Zulu?
Well, you saw this...
Hold on for a minute. I happen to know that... Number one, this baby, where's this kid from?
I think it's a Zulu.
You don't know if it's a Zulu? First of all, Zululand is now what's called South Africa.
Next thing you know, we're going to have to get lip discs.
The what?
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, this baby that the Etnauers are adopting, will this child be safe in your neighborhood?
Of course, Phil.
The child will be safe.
Until sundown, yes.
What do you? No. Not
until sundown. Oh, I gotta get off the phone.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
This is.
Well, no, I'm kidding. Did the guy hang up? Oh my God! No sense of humor down there in the OC. All you people who live in the OC, they're real uptight.
And what if the kid comes here? We gotta start going. Look. And that means, yeah. Do you want a quart of milk?
You're about as dumb a human being as I've ever met, Ms. Dooley. You and that dumbass husband of yours.
My husband has a wildly successful landscaping business.
Well, whoopee do for him. He sure does know how to spread that fertilizer around, doesn't he? Lip discs.
Anyway, in this movie Zulu... Oh, I'm sorry. I think that's, let me taste it. No, that's a quarter pounder with cheese.
All right, thank you. I saw a movie the other night called Zulu. At least until the sun goes... You know, there you have it, folks. Western Estates Homeowners Association. Just a little slice.
What a queer.
I misspoke. A little slice of the South. Circa 1955, I should say. All right. We'll take a break. I got to throw up. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So I'm reading about this island off of... So all of a sudden we're talking about... No, you ain't going to announce the show in click, bud. Get out of here.
I want to do it.
Get out of here with your click. So we're talking about, Africa, and suddenly, for some reason, we began talking about the tsunami. And this island is called Simiulu. And it's this island where the elders advise the people on how to survive. No, wait a minute. Yeah. And so they survived the tsunami because these people on this island have an ancient way of surviving these kinds of things. And India, which protects this island, won't let anybody go over there. You know, it's kind of like that one island in Hawaii that's owned by a guy and you can't go there unless you're wealthy. So they protect the wealthy on that island in Hawaii. What is that? You know, that one island? Can't go. There's that one island in Hawaii I always wanted to go. Lanai? Is that what it's called? Yeah, I want to go over there. No, I'm sorry, sir. You're not with those shoes. Well, wait, what are you talking about, man? Is it a state? Am I here? Is this America? What are you, cutting off a whole thing? And by the way, I'm never going to get off my... This thing with the beaches out here, I know that a lot of you guys don't care because you don't live out on the beach, but I'm going out. I told Maria, I'm going out to Malibu. I'm going to sit on my ass at Trancas Beach, and I dare... anybody that lives on that beach to throw me off. Oh, God, please let it come soon. Nobody owns the beach but the people of California. That's A. B, if you put up a sign that says private property, good for you. You know how to print. C, get a cop. I ain't moving for anybody other than a cop. You send some kid on a three-wheeler. Look at this. I start talking about click, Africa, Zulus, tsunamis, and I'm on to Malibu. Boom! It always brings me back to the same topic. start talking Zulu, and I start thinking all those freaking Zulus out there on the beach at Malibu who won't let me sit there, have myself a sandwich, and a cold bottle of suds, even if it is illegal. Really? Is drinking on a beach illegal in California? Well, then let me ask you this. Those guys that claim that they've got private beach, do they get to go out on a beach and drink some suds? Yeah. You want to know why? Because even the cops won't go out there. The cops think it's private, too. What is it with you guys? God, you know, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to have myself a freaking margarita on the beach. Okay, fine. Cop comes over, gives me a ticket. Good, I understand that. Why don't you go down there to those private beaches and tell those people to take their private beach sign down and let some folks go out there and enjoy the freaking rays over there? And who's this guy that's, you know, you're supposed to have access, you know what I mean? But you got to be able to, the law says you got to have access to the beach. Now this guy, Geffen, is that his name? Record producer? He won't let anybody go down the side of his house because he doesn't want a lot of creeps going down his house. Well, that's cool. I can dig that, dude. But guess what? That's where you moved, and that's what you got to live with. Well, he's fighting it. So now this guy's fighting it in court, so people can't get down there to go to the beach. But even if they do get down to the beach, which doesn't that tell you the beach is public if you got to have access to it? So when they get down there, then these clowns put out their private beach sign. Now no cop goes around telling them to take the sign down. No, the guy's going to pop me because I'm having a cold bottle of suds. Even if it does look like, even if it is a little warm.
Corona?
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but you're right.